Watson Hall presents. Amazing Adventures, The Mask of Ehtil. With Nick Marsh as the Game Master.
Shall we, speaking of games that have been played.
New games.
Shall we segue
get
on
a recap?
Horizon?
I will
switch. Oh no, he's fallen off.
We'll switch over from voice detection. There we go. I'm just going to check this is actually working. Yes, it is detecting my voice, and possibly also the washing machine, in which case I apologize.
It never has before. I'm probably impressed with it, really.
Yep, hopefully not. Last season, last episode, in the Mask of Ehtil, we leapt into action against the mysterious figures who had ambushed us in a dead-end alleyway in the back streets of At-Taif. We felled various shamblers and
you can say zombies.
Umbrella deployed its ocular overloader, which blinded some of the chanting fellows at the back. Nasty but certificate appropriate fight ensued, which resulted in us heading out with Blaine carrying the unconscious survivor of the fight, and us making our
the apparently unconscious survivor.
Mm-hmm. Right until he became
temporarily unconscious.
Temporarily unconscious. Well, you know, unconsciousness is generally temporary. It normally one way or the other. We escaped from the people who were inclined to question us by the penguin casting a
questioner
in the air, and they probably would have done that first. We scarpered. There was a certain amount of de-unconsciousing and stabbing resulting from this. We discovered he had a tattoo of a winged creature on his chest, but. Thankfully, mid-stab, the penguin was able to exert his mesmeric powers and calm the man, allowing us to take him to our hotel.
That sounds much weirder than it felt last week.
After
rendering the man unconscious and...
The four grown men took him to the hotel.
Yes, a highly suggestive young Jim.
Ken was recalled that the strange symbol on his chest was one of the symbols of, I don't remember which specific name he used, but Ahura Mazda, the light deity.
Is the term Ken had heard before.
Ahura Mazda, the light deity of Zoroastrianism.
All fat deities are available.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Zoro had founded a religion, but...
This chap says he thought they had to stop us. They are protectors of the Black City, and he thought we were members of the Fuel Society, which Sydney knows is an occult German society. Obviously, wouldn't want any involvement in Germans. We confirmed
an occult German society that funded the National Socialist Party, currently in charge of Germany.
We confirmed that this group's, when they say protect the Black City, they specifically mean keep its secrets hidden from those who wish to revive its dark powers. Like Al-Hazred, the faceless man, which made us think of the chap what chopped off most of his face, before levitating out of a mosque. So we are probably, from a certain perspective, on the same side, and have therefore, unfortunately, murdered several of our potential allies.
They did attack first.
There you
it wasn't
go.
Like they,
we merely defended a little better than they attacked.
Precisely.
Just picture the menacing legions lurch forward and, would you like to come for coffee?
It didn't. If that was not the vibe we sensed, was it? Really,
it was quite a murderous vibe you were getting.
Mm-hmm. So you know,
we've seen those, you know, creatures control things, the Z word. kill before, so, you know, we wouldn't assume that this time would be different.
Yeah, they did seem to be the same sort of creatures.
I trusted your reports of them.
Evidence of unusual size.
Thanks to Penguin's magical way of subduing men, he now is... He's convinced...
The roofie.
Well, so basically you've just literally learned that he believes that you are also members of the Society of Ormond.
We may have suggested that.
We're a sort of a
maybe an
affiliate group, aren't we?
That was what we were trying to get.
Yes, that was the idea, that you were allies of this group, which is why he's talked to you about it.
And being awfully chummy and making sure he's got plenty of sweet mint tea to drink and enjoy.
And I mean, if you think about it, you know, in... How does one even become a member of this society? Maybe we are members of this society now.
Well, it's... I know, but I don't... it's kind of a cell-based organisation.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm sure we can fork out...
Well, which is why he does believe that you could actually be kind of splinter members, because they don't know. Mm-hmm. It's not an organisation where everyone knows everyone else. So you've convinced him that you are on his side, that you're attempting to protect the secrets.
That's us, yep. I mean, we are.
You can rely on us.
So should
we let him, you know, pop off now that we've dealt with this, cleared up the misunderstanding, or...?
How long is he going to stay convinced? Is my question.
This is a deep hypnotic suggestion, so
it's not quite clearly true.
And we've actually been reasonably truthful with him.
Well, that's the other thing. It's not actually untrue.
It makes some logical sense. That's the thing.
All we've done is just move quite a long period of time into a very short period of time with me saying we're your friends, and then us actually finding out that might have actually been the case.
So, are you, if you like,
lubed the chute of acceptance in his brain,
catapulted it at high speed into his face via the medium of penguin dick. No, sorry, the penguin.
That's not a drug penguin.
Now, can I just point out that the penguin's name is Penfold White?
It's just confusing, Mark, that under your face are the words penguin dick.
It's penguin, Dick Madden.
Now, we know what it is.
And Yossa Began.
But it still says penguin dick.
It's the first thing we see. The first words under your face are penguin.
Sidney Fossick, Ken Hobbs, Blaine Bolland, Penguin Dick. That's how your brain takes it in. Assuming it does take in.
Penguins don't have penises, I believe. Did we establish this last time?
I think you did. I think you actually...
Well, it is very cold.
I seem to remember you actually Googled
it. Hard to tell.
I thought they might be cloacal kiss types.
They are.
Well, as long as they're not like bleeding mallards.
They have got big swinging dicks.
There's got to be a band called Cloacal Kiss, surely.
Or Swinging Mallards.
There's probably a band called Swinging Mallards.
So, you have this gentleman. He's recovering. He's upset about the death of his compatriots. He is understanding that there was a misunderstanding.
That he's tried to kill us. Yes. How big of him to accept that as a misunderstanding?
The secrets in the city of such magnitude, as you know, that they must be protected with our lives, with all our lives.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
we definitely
perhaps
agree
any
that.
Of our lives, not all of them. That
however,
suggests
we
need to be wiped
trying
out.
To find the man with no nose.
It seems to me.
How does he smell?
That's. We have different talents, we move in different parts of society. We should probably work separately. However, if we can share information before we part company, we may both achieve our goals more readily.
And perhaps if there's a way to easily and safely contact them, if we find more information that might be of use to them. Mm.
Well, my other companions have gone ahead into the desert to protect the city from the others who seek it.
Very good.
The Society of Thule. As I mentioned, they left some days before you. We assumed you were allied with them.
Oh, heavens no.
And of course...
Suck up to a sausage sucker never.
The two have some pretty neat plates, still to say.
I am not from your lands, and I am little of these sausage suckers of which you speak. But...
Probably for the best.
You also heard, presumably, the stories, I assume this way you were, went to the mosque, of the creature that...
Well...
Desecrated the mosque.
He is our target. He has come from the United States, come from over the seas to the from the United States, where he was indoctrinated.
This man's foreign. He's not an idiot. I understand that that's generally how we treat foreigners, but you know.
Can I just point out that you know I'm not British.
Yes, but, you don't have to be.
But one of my friends. Well, one of my friends is who out of game. Is actually talking about being civil to them. This is pre World War II, you know. I mean, you know, we're still
but post World War One.
We know that the Germans are likely to be our allies in the important struggle against world communism.
Yes, of course.
And this Mussolini bloke is making the trains run on time and all that.
Mm.
Actually, he's not. But I mean, it's the Italian it trains. Nobody would seriously expect it.
Trains were terrible in Germany and Italy. Anyway.
I feel that's a minor point. Also, when you look back on the history of it.
Well, I feel that if the only good thing you can say about the Nazis is they made the trains run on time. And they didn't.
And they didn't.
Then that's a pretty weak thing. We believe this creature is Alhazred, the monk. Sage of old. He wishes to...
Oh, sort of a reincarnation sort of thing, eh?
Well, he may be able to. Have you heard of the Eye of Ashurbanipal?
Ashurbanipal, Mesopotamian?
Yes. One of our great holy men.
I have indeed. They might be giants. Did a song that mentions him. Everything I know about Mesopotamian comes from the chorus of that song.
Oh, it's good you've heard of me. Usually no one's ever heard of Alderman. it is also known as the Heart of Yutil, at which point your ears prick up because that is what had been scribbled on the notes.
Was that on that desk jotter?
Yes.
Heart of Yutil.
Yes.
We're certainly in the right place, gents.
If it seems.
If Alhazred lays his hand on it, he may be able to resurrect himself.
So at the moment he's sort of, like a kind of spirit possession, something like that? That's more your end, isn't it, Pengus?
Mm. Well, I mean, the vision I had of him being abducted is too strong a word, really, because I mean he went willingly, but of him with the being of fire.
I'm sure you're familiar with the concept of subconscious influence causing people to do things they wouldn't otherwise. You've heard of this, obviously. I'm not suggesting you would do it for a moment.
Sorry, you're speaking to the mesmerist here.
Why am I hopping on one leg and clucking like a chicken?
Yes, it may be that Alhazred has possessed a weak man. The Americans are particularly susceptible to such.
So I found.
Also, have you seen his wife? Definitely a weak man.
I mean, ex-wife, presumably at this point.
Only once the paperwork's filed.
there is evil in the city which must not be revealed to the world. It is not of this earth.
Mm-hmm. Then where is
it? We really need to stop him.
The city's origins, the question we do not know, but it came to the world long ago when the moon was not in the sky.
Really? Oh, gosh. I mean, wouldn't have had any tides then, would we? Or perhaps not.
So our legend
says. That's fascinating. I'll just start jotting down some figures and working on something completely unrelated to the task at hand.
You casually drop the half-written notes for Dr. Fossick's Moon Disruptor.
And this is the supervillain origin story.
I don't think it's going to fit in the umbrella. That's the trouble. My umbrella now follows me around on an 18-wheeler.
I must stay here to guard against incursions, but maybe you could enter the desert and intercept... If we are truly
We could, do that, couldn't we, chaps? Do you have map coordinates? We're following this man, but the trouble is because he was flying, we rather lost him, and then of course we ran into you, chaps.
The city does not exist in any conventional sense on a map, but
and yet the Germans are heading to it.
Well. The rumours, and they are just rumours, none of those living have even seen the city. But it is rumoured if you head into the desert for 2 weeks, the city will appear...
Eat and drink very little. The city take off your hat.
Appear behind
take the glowing
you.
Fruit with you.
I mean,
no one's going to get an Ishtar reference. If you follow the rising sun into the centre of the desert for 2 weeks, the city will appear behind you in the last rays of dusk.
So it's going to take us a fortnight to get there.
I can give.
Which means we can't catch up with those who've gone ahead, then.
Unless we fly.
But if it takes 2 weeks...
Fly for 2 weeks.
I do not understand if those are... I do not know. That is all I know.
Wait, I've got it. If you head into the desert for 2 weeks, heading towards the sun, the rising sun, and then, in the last rays of dusk, the city will appear behind you, which means it's here.
Oh, no, no.
Sure, logically.
there you go, you using your Western logic again.
Yeah, you Americans, you're the same.
you've gone past it, is what you've done. Occasion. You've gone straight past it.
It is a... it is hard to translate. It is a ritual that must be performed.
Sounds like some Alice in Wonderland thing to me.
But it is in the centre of the...
Second star to the right and... Straight on till morning, or
you're not a superstitious man, look, Mr. Bolland. You will
the
be
thing
soon,
is that
I
the
assure.
Folks, the folks in these parts, they put a lot of store in these. Well, I won't call them folk tales, but sort of traditional knowledge. I think it is. And
these are the stories passed down from the fathers of my society from the dawn of. The Islamic world.
It's always the dad, isn't it? You think we talk to the mums a bit more?
You wouldn't have seen one pilot in the Lafayette without his lucky rabbit's foot. Oh, I didn't keep him alive, but you wouldn't have seen one without him.
Good old rabbit's foot, he did get about, didn't he?
kept him alive.
See, I was figuring this to be some kind of riddle, but yeah, it sounds like you're saying it's just a process, really.
Something that perhaps, if it is a riddle, we'd only see the answer if we go along with it. Perhaps it will reveal itself to us. And,
literally, Mr. Bolland.
Maybe you're right.
Perhaps you need to be credulous. I have not seen the city myself.
So we need to get kitted up for a fortnight in the desert.
Mohammed.
Could we not?
Kill any more of us.
No. So could we also fly closer to it? Do we need? Is the 2 weeks actually required?
I do not know.
But if the city is going to appear behind you, how can you fly closer to it?
But we could fly to basically where it is, land, and then turn round.
You know, what I mean is, we don't know where it is.
I mean,
we know the direction that we need to be going. Also,
these are ancient legends. I do not think they have been updated for your flying machines. I'm sorry.
Well, no, but I'm also thinking, to be honest.
Legend 26.4.1 is now available in beta.
Do we want to see if we can do some investigation then? If the Society of Thule has also gone out over there along with In With No Nose.
Do you think we should head out and try to just intercept
them?
In which case,
a flying machine would be perfectly acceptable.
It would be more sensible, maybe, because of course we could see a great deal further. They're going to be kicking up an awful lot of dust, I would imagine.
That was my thought. But obviously, did you say, insert name of,
You haven't asked him his name, have you?
No, we did. I think we talked, when we talked to him right at the beginning, we talked with,
Well, you asked Ahmed, your guide, his name.
Okay, so
he's not.
I am Khalid. You may call me Khalid.
Khalid.
He did tell us that at some point.
I think we knew that. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the players might be slightly crass and thing, but we are enlightened gentlemen of the 1930s.
And I'm just terribly affable and friendly and get on with people, so, you know, it would have probably crossed my mind at some point.
What are you asking, Khalid? Sorry.
Did he say that the rest of his fellows...
Some of the other members have gone into the desert, deep into the empty quarter, which is part of the the Arabian desert in the test.
It's Saudi now, yes. Don't you forget it.
So there, and you said the Germans have gone. Do you know how many Germans have gone?
Well, we might need to investigate that.
They took several jeeps.
Well, that definitely is going to make life easier.
That's prescient of them.
I do not know how they know, or if they know, how to find the city.
Okay, but did they go with the faceless man, or...?
No. They came afterwards. They heard the stories as you did. We thought you were another contingent.
Understandable, yes, you, of course, a natural conclusion.
Westerners sound very similar to us.
Fair enough.
So a significant number of Germans have gone towards this place.
I believe a score, perhaps.
Do you think they also seek this relic you are trying to protect, or do you think they may have some? Is there any other obvious purpose they would have?
This Society of Thule is an occult society interested in gaining artifacts to fuel the mad leader in the West. It seemed logical that is what they were pursuing. They were very interested in the situation in the mosque, as were you.
But they might also simply wish to ransack the place for any manner of occult knowledge.
Oh, there is much knowledge there. Knowledge. Knowledge which...
Forbidden knowledge. Oh, sorry.
Luckily, we won't be able to read any of it, so we should be safe. Mm.
The knowledge, my friend, leads you. He says ominously, but it doesn't make any sense. But there's some ominous music in the background.
I will ask him. Does he know?
Someone ask that busker to shut up.
Does he know of anywhere where we could hire a plane?
I thought you were about the bouzouki player.
Shut up, bloody bouzouki.
Is there anywhere where we could hire a plane in the city? Who would be especially... Somebody who would be... buy a plane.
Planes are the common heritage of all humanity. You just step in and take them away. I always do. No.
there are.
Is it you who's the crack pilot, Ken?
Yes.
I think that you'd have to investigate, but it's not impossible. They have been. There were certainly plenty around during the First World War. Some may have been left behind.
My other thought, you see, is the fact that there's a great big airship airfield not too far from here. Airfield aerodrome. That tends to be where you tend to find flying things.
I'd have to check. So this Al at Taif is about a mile up from sea level. I guessing planes can still cope with.
Yeah, that's slightly over 5,000 feet. You're pushing it a little bit. You don't. Depends on the plane and the era. I mean, there is definitely stuff that can get higher. This is not the 1920s, as I was. I remember the desperate search for something that could do the job in Bolivia. But
yes, I think you would be able to find something suitable.
In fact, you're actually starting now to actually get pressurised cabins and things like that at a reasonable.
Certainly, a decent meal on board, as long as you're wearing your dinner, your black tie.
Well.
That was assuming you.
Excuse me.
Black armband.
I go white tie. Obviously, I'm the penguin.
I'm sorry to downgrade you. Well, no. Presumably, you go black and white tie. Sorry, yeah. I was a penguin joke because they're black and white.
And red all over.
Mm-hmm. Penguin in the blender.
Wow. A penguin rolling down a hill, getting bruised.
A newspaper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That would work.
Well, it worked years ago because they were black and white.
Trying to explain in this paper.
They've gone the way of the opening line of Neuromancer. Right then, we need to. It's a brilliant line.
The sky was buffering like a poor internet connection. It doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
The sky was the colour of the blue screen of death. So we need to sort out supplies and transportation, a lot of fuel and water.
One would have thought you'd have quite enough supplies for one day.
Do we have to keep this man alive?
No, that was me. You can't change that.
No, I'm talking about the GM. Sorry, I wasn't speaking to you then, Nick. Sorry about that. I wonder, actually, we could probably do with a second aircraft that can come out and pick us up if necessary after a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. If we don't get back by whenever, you know, come out to the coordinates and...
Well, we're not sure where we're going yet. So.
Well, fly out in this direction.
Look for us.
The empty quarter, it's a proper kind of classical sand dunes desert. There isn't really very
much
out there.
It's the actual desert bit, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It's the proper...
as opposed to the bit that is a real desert that isn't what it looks. What people think it looks like.
This one is sand dunes, Lawrence of Arabia, Bedouins...
The empty quarter is where the guys who used to whiz around on jeeps before the SAS.
Long range desert.
Eighth Army.
No, the long range
desert group.
Yeah, long range desert group. Yeah, who quite a lot of them got seconded into the SAS. Quite a few of them, several months after they didn't find out for about a year and a half afterwards, but that's a whole different story. These are just people who just knew what was going on in the empty quarter, knew where all the hidden oases and things were, and just bombed around in jeeps. So, but about now would be when they are actually learning their trade. So
bombing around. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of broken up by the odd kind of salt flat where there used to be a lake.
But there's not much else there. Dr. Fossick, could you manage to rig up some sort of radio beacon on which our rescuer could home?
Oh, I'd have thought so, yes. I mean, there'll be a wireless on the plane, won't there?
Yeah. I'm thinking of my West, which is only a few years after this. No, not that my West.
Sorry, I'm still, I'm distracted there. I'm thinking of the historical May West. What were we talking about again?
How empty the empty quarter is. I mean, there's a reason it's called the empty quarter.
Yes.
Not very much like in
that,
there.
It's like that sandy desert in Australia, isn't it? All with the imaginative name.
Is that what it's called?
Is it the Great Sandy Desert it's called? I think it is something like that.
It's not that great.
The all right sandy desert.
And it's it's absolutely chock full of camels now, apparently. That well-known native Australian. Though,
because they can call like the bush, which is like 30,000 miles of nothing with one bush in the middle. So, mm-hmm. You know, they can be...
There's a lot of bushes in the bush.
Look, a tree. That's the tree.
there's whole forests out in the bush. Some of the trees can kill you if you fall asleep under them. I mean, it's very Australian.
Mm-hmm. I mean, any tree can do that once.
Beech trees. Really beech trees do it by, like, you know, dropping a limb on you. But I forget the name of it, but there was an Australian tree that is just so toxic that you can't go near it.
And they have
to make you violently ill if you're lucky.
Tree bears.
Sunny ill.
Oh, drop pandas.
Drop pandas.
Yeah.
They don't know. I've seen the YouTube video. They must have.
I think there was a good thread about that specifically that I was reading today.
Is this about the drop panda or about the tree?
No, about the tree.
Right. Well, I think Les Hiddens mentions it in one of his books. Anyway, so we need to sort out basically a rescue vehicle and obviously a vehicle to carry us and all the supplies, which is it's likely to take us a couple of days to be able to get underway, I would think, don't you?
The state of the art in cars crossing the desert is, frankly, rubbish. Your best bet is a Rolls Royce.
I mean, see, things going... He is the kind of man who can, I was going to say rub an engine, but I mean, anyone can rub an engine, but only Sydney can persuade it to go for a walk afterwards. I don't know where I'm going now. I've mixed up a lot of references. But if you are stuck in the desert with a failing engine, Sydney's your man. You might need some spare parts, though, Sydney.
Absolutely. Oh, nonsense. No. Just make do and mend, you know, with what you've got. I can jerry-rig something, as I'm sure the Germans can.
We will need three.
I don't think you call them Jerry's in this era.
A minimum of three, preferably five, fashionable ladies, so that we can borrow their stockings for fan belts.
Are you going in that car?
Yes, I mean, the questions would be asked if we just took the stockings.
Indeed.
Yes, exactly. That would be very suspicious.
Totally weird. But that does mean we're going to have different. Food and drink along. I mean, some sweet cherry, perhaps.
I mean, if you're heading into the desert, also, the minute you've been kind of blessed because you're quite high, you're away from the heat to some degree. But when you descend into the empty quarter, it will be very hot.
One reason why I think we're going to fly. Descend only when. What are we actually going to do when we find the Germans? I mean, there's only four of us. We can't exactly take them on hand to hand, can we?
High explosives?
Well, it is a Hawker Hind. Just the thing for dropping light bombs on the tribesmen to give them in order.
There was that Fred White story, Fred M. White, about dispersing a smog with grenades dropped from a flying machine, wasn't there?
Is that? Doesn't that replace that with a load of smoke and debris, though?
No, it worked very well. There was this thick, oily smog that was, you know, covering London and everything. And somebody had invented a flying machine.
That's a scientific
dropped these bombs, and it just dispersed. It is. It is. It's fiction, technically. Preempted but the Blitz.
Gave Hitler the idea.
But this was for a good cause. Okay. Getting rid of the oily.
That's
smog.
What Hitler thought as well.
Getting rid of the oily British, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, well, we better have a good night's sleep. We're going to need a new guide in the morning, obviously, to help us get all the bits and pieces together. Certainly not trusting that last one.
I can explain Ahmed's mistake. He can guide you again. He did not realise... He is also of our member. He is also a member.
He's one of...
I've got choice words to say about him, and that would be one of them.
He is of
the
society.
He's a title member, yes, indeed.
He, I can talk to him. He will help.
Well, if you say so, then fair enough.
We apologise for the inconvenience.
We apologise for defending ourselves and obviously killing off...
We understand you are men of spunk. Of action. You would defend
yourself. 5 minutes, we'd slap each other's backs and going out for coffee.
Obviously very small coffee.
Six
very,
pints
very sweet.
Of coffee, please.
It's a bit late on, I think. Look, I see, what time is it now? It must be...
It's late afternoon, early evening. Yeah, the call to prayer all right, brings out again outside.
So we should probably make some notes on what we need to do tomorrow and then have a relatively early night, get up and get to it, because I do think it's going to take a day or two and rather a lot of readies, as it were.
Well, yep, so this is it. How much, I just like, again, we don't have to be too specific, how much are you taking in the way of supplies if something goes wrong? Are you going to get enough
well,
to
they're
get
saying
back
we
out
could
of
be...
the desert? You're building your...
Definitely.
Sydney, you're planning on building a transmitter?
Oh, I'll just...
A radio.
I'll just convert the...
Talking to God.
To God.
We need to see what sort of plane we can get, but if we can get a decent-sized one...
Yeah, we'll just get a wireless in there, and I can convert it if needed.
You'll also need one that can land and
Charles
take
plane.
Off...
On the notoriously sand. Flat sand.
It's lumpy, that's what they called you. I mean, I'm sure it's fine. These aren't jet engines, they're prop planes.
To be fair, most planes of this era are quite happy on a grass strip or reasonably smooth sand. And it's a bit fiddly picking a spot if you don't know the terrain, but it's basically within the spot.
Neil Armstrong,
do you know, I
moon,
could...
It was all right.
I could possibly build a sort of... rolling runway that's attached around the wheels so that it, as it runs along, it constantly refreshes the road surface in front of it.
Amazing.
That is a great idea.
Work for He-Man.
It would will it not be very heavy? Take some time to deal with the drag. And you can do it, Sydney, I'm sure. But
you
not,
know,
not in
no, we jettison the one we take off.
As a mad Scottish bastard you need to talk to, his name's Wrinkle Brown.
Alternatively, we could just attach skids to the wheels, which we could remove if necessary.
I mean, the dunes in the empty quarter—they're actually on reasonably solid foundations. They're not just like pure sand that blows around all over the place. They're fairly
they're not
permanent
the whispering
fixtures.
Moving.
They're just covered in sand, so you're probably all right. For that, yeah. So that's fine, but just keep
as easy as landing on the moon.
I'd like to know when I'm going 2 weeks away from any possible rescue.
We need reliable people manning the calendar and the relief plane.
I mean,
there's the
will...
possibility it's going to take 2 weeks. We think.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you don't know is, does that mean you have to fly into the desert for 2 weeks or what?
No.
If we fly for 2 weeks, apart from the fact we'll have to refuel, I think we'll come out to the other side of the desert.
Yeah, so it seems
even
unlikely.
In a plane of the Sierra.
If we flied for 2 days, we'd come out to the other side of the desert.
We're just going to be looking for the Germans, basically, which is why I was asking the question, what do we do when we catch them?
I mean, we're not really equipped to deal with, a score of Germans, potentially?
So do we just trail them? But the chances are they would notice the plane before we had an opportunity to get close.
This is the problem. If we can get there before them,
if we can get them,
have some options.
If we can single them and get them one at a time. My mesmeric powers.
So, you want us to creep very slowly in the aeroplane, creep along behind them, while you hop out occasionally and take a straggler.
Are you going to try and hope they don't notice one by one?
We could lower the penguin on a rope, and he can stare upside down into their eyes.
Shout Hans, see who looks up, mesmerise that one.
Yeah.
Fritz!
Yes. You're going through the whole... Dieter, Florian!
Wolfgang!
There's one at the end, you're just like, what the hell is his name? What's this one called?
German!
It's like, oh, my mother called me Justin. What?
She was a big fan of Mr. Bieber from the future. That was a weird segue, wasn't it? Okay. Okay, you are able to procure...
How much water can we carry would be a serious concern for
Your big problem is going to be water versus fuel, I guess. Mm-hmm. So you can either be very tight on the fuel, but I would say have a plentiful supply of water to probably get out of the desert if you're in a jeep. You're going to struggle to walk out of the desert after flying in for some time.
You know, I suppose there's no reason really why you couldn't get an internal combustion engine to run on water. Where's that
water doesn't burn, Professor.
Ha ha ha! That's where you're wrong. It's all a matter of degree.
Don't with the right, Maritime with the Safety right. Division has not been a great success.
With the right catalyst.
Isn't there a Kurt Vonnegut story about, oh no, that's when he freezes all the water.
Ice Nine.
Cat's Cradle. I've read it now.
I have a copy with an air rifle pellet in the spine for some reason, which I think I mentioned.
Much of it is not about that. It's quite a lot of it else to it because it's an actual novel, not just a short story.
Fair enough.
Mm. It's not the thickest novel in the world.
Novelish.
Novelette.
It's a good one. I don't think it's his best, but it's quite entertaining.
Mm. I think I've only read Slaughterhouse 5, which is very good.
Haven't read it yet.
Have you seen the film?
I've got it. Just haven't.
You could do the film on your podcast.
I can't make it a masterpiece.
I thought you were off that now.
For fuck's sake,
you just done Ishtar.
you're trawling the world for the one person who will claim it's a masterpiece. somewhere out there.
It's not even as good as Spies Like Us.
Sorry, what was the sand motion while you were talking about how good Ishtar is?
In my chest.
Oh, all I can see is you going, it's not that good.
And here he is. His name is Boron Wheaty, apparently.
Okay, so we have fuel and water, two crucial things.
And a pilot.
Pilot, tent.
Well, tarpaulin's fine, but yes, I mean, we sort of shelter. Tent. With probably some sort of fine mesh would be ideal. Something to keep out insects. They can be quite nasty. You've got into well done. Excellent. Well done, everyone, on that one.
I will secure some sort of extremely dust-proof bag to keep my camera in for going into the desert.
A good point, yes. Oil skin can be a little tricky in the desert, I understand. Sand sticks to it very badly. So you wouldn't want that around a camera.
You say whale skin. Hard to find whale skin in the empty quarter, it's true.
Well, if it was still attached to a whale, perhaps, but there's no reason... I mean, it's hard to find anything in the empty quarter unless you take it with you.
Except sand.
Eventually, the empty quarter is going to have to change its name because so many of us seem hell-bent on taking huge amounts of crap.
Now, there's a project for you, Doc. The sand-burning engine.
Sand's largely...
It would work with electricity. You could heat the sand, possibly with some sort of solar array... And then the heat generated, stored in the sand, Could power perhaps, would it be enough for a steam-powered generator?
I'm sketching a preposterous illustration of, you know, a gigantic magnifying glass. Bobby Prof.
I see nothing preposterous about this.
It's more Brit Boffin. I don't call you Barney.
Actually, I don't know if Boffin would be, I don't know if that's an American term. It feels very like...
We call people Boffin, Buffins,
no.
What did you say?
In the
I
war.
Think...
Sorry?
No, Sean has never heard the word boffin.
Boffin is a very not American term. Mm.
It's, you know, Barnes Wallace.
I think egghead gets used over there. Mm. Try run egghead.
Go on, Vic.
Just shout egghead and see what happens.
Vic, we need to know whether... Does she know about eggheads?
If you shout Shauna. Egghead.
Egghead. Yes, what? No, I'm not calling you. have you heard of the term egghead? Egghead.
Yeah.
What would you call a kind of slightly eccentric scientist? What would your term be? Well, a slightly kind of absent-minded, Doc Brown style.
Yeah. Well, what did they call Doc Brown, actually? I've just...
They called him Doc Brown. Man. What was his name?
A what? Super cool. Super cool. Well,
no, not you personally, sure.
But in America, would there be a term for a... We have boffin in the UK. Oh, they don't have it.
I think Echo is termed. Is, but,
okay. Sorry, Blaine. Your impoverished language does not have the language to deal.
I've learned boffin from him.
Boffin, yeah. I don't know what else we've got.
Well, I typically say mad scientist.
Mad scientist. Yeah, okay, that's a bit harsh because he's his friend. Eccentric somewhere.
I would call you a boffin because I've been to the UK, of course.
It's a sort of semi-affectionate term. It's not.
In
really
fact,
abusive.
We would all
round
call,
this.
We would
it's
all
not
call
really
you,
abusive. No, sort of slightly condescending.
We would all call you boffins because we've all been to the UK.
Yeah, but if you're
Einstein
writing for a newspaper
is...
for an American audience.
I think Einstein is a term this early in general use.
Poindexter.
Not the same thing.
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
it's not manly 50. Enough to be admired by Americans.
Right. So now we've got the nomenclature sorted out.
Yes.
Vital element.
We can elide over much of it. You do manage to hire some planes. But yeah, just give me a brief idea of what you've got on board. So you've got a fair bit of water. How's your fuel situation? You can either have a lot of water and just enough fuel, or lots of fuel and just enough water.
Well, of course, I can build a solar still using the fast vegetation.
Yes, good luck with that.
It's the slight downside of the solar still.
Yes, Sydney might make you survive another few days drinking your own urine.
Could be
we could easily refine that.
You can indeed use urine in a solar still.
You can, it's just there is such a thing called essential losses that doesn't come out in the pee. Mm. You will eventually dehydrate.
But
any bits of chopped up vegetables, plant material, that can be used in a solar still. So we get enough to...
Plenty, all the numerous carrots you'll find in the empty quarter.
There must be something out there. I mean, all of the animals are eating something, are they? Well, probably other animals.
What animals? there's some scorpions and the like, and smaller prey.
Very
there's
good.
A few... Herd animal creatures.
There are desert dwelling woodlice.
Well, there you go. Problem solved.
The creature least adapted to a dry environment still bloody lives there because they're woodlice and I love them.
I have to say,
do
though,
they just die on you as soon as look at you, though?
No. What's more, think of the level of complication and complexity of a woodlouse. They show parental care of their offspring.
I think they suckle their young. Oh, that might be cockroaches.
Cockroaches do, certainly. The problem with woodlice, I have it on
this conversation.
I have it on very good authority that the trouble with woodlice is that it tastes like soap.
Yeah.
You can't enjoy
it. Is the good authority your cat?
No, Remy is.
He'll eat anything, won't he?
No, he won't eat sago. Or Brussels sprouts.
Ill woodlice. Does that mean you can bathe in a woodlouse?
If it's large enough, presumably.
Well, I mean, scoop it out and fill it up with hot water and some matey? Probably not.
Well, there are deep sea isopods, which are frankly terrifying.
They're basically you need the prehistoric ones, though, really, don't you, to actually get a bath in them?
Yeah, if you wanted to actually bathe in a woodlouse, you'd need to.
Mark, I think you're right. We may possibly have veered slightly from the topic here.
You're right. Sorry, because I'm slightly distracted, so I'm not kind of dragging us back towards the general point, which I usually want to do. Even though it's not my game.
Okay, you arrange some planes. So you're planning, prioritising fuel or water? That was what I've been trying to get out of you.
Yes,
we need to be able to get there and back.
But
I
think, honestly...
We'll do some calculations.
I would like to have a roughly even margin, you know.
Okay.
If we find ourselves wandering about for ages, we will get back home with just as the fuel and water run out at the same time, rather than one of them running out first.
All right.
Why don't we get the people who are going to be coming in the event of a problem to follow us out and at a particular coordinate to leave a cache of some food, water and fuel.
That's a good idea. Yes.
A big flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So we'll head out in advance and they will go out. And if we die in the desert because they haven't done it, I shall bloody well haunt them.
Right, a very cross diary message to be discovered with your call.
There'll be a ghostly complaint to the Times.
In the event of my desiccated corpse being found, please send this to the Times. You bastard.
That will be my written with the very thick remains of my own blood.
Yeah, that's very gloopy.
Okay, I've made a note. We're paying someone to take out a cache of fuel and water.
Or the most when they get way more when they get back.
Is there an official British presence in this?
Not official anymore. Well, there'll be it's a very new place. There probably hasn't been an embassy established just yet.
I'm just wondering if there's even a company or something.
There'll be entrepreneurs.
When does BP move in?
I'm a bit late in this.
Well, the moment that somebody starts drilling.
Yes.
Surely there'll be
they have not discovered the oil for another few years.
Surely
yet.
There'll be somebody who is either British, French, or American who is trying to exploit the local people here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. There'll be people who fought in the war, didn't want to go home.
I'm just thinking somewhere sort of official enough that we can, you know, get them to check on the people who are supposed to be helping us out. Saying, look, we're going over in this direction on a scientific survey and we're arranging for this cache to be put out and blah, blah, blah. If you haven't heard them back within these times, could you get in touch with these people and ask them why if they've gone out to fetch us?
You can grease somebody else to do that. There is probably going to be British rather than American. But, Sydney.
That's fine.
Sydney can talk to them, but I'll provide the money.
Yes, well, I mean, obviously just expenses, you know.
You don't have to come along with me, Penguin. I'll say just hand over the cash. Okay.
You'll never guess how much this cost me, but it's fascinating.
A couple of days later, you have a plane all loaded up, ready to head east, southeast, into the desert.
I say, Ken, do you happen to know what the carrying capacity of this plane is now that we've loaded it?
I'm very carefully not asking what model of plane it is, because planes that can carry four of us in this era are frankly rare.
Plus all these supplies and fuel.
Yes.
What we are looking at is a cinematically appropriate plane that can do what we want it to do.
There are no shots showing us inside the same plane they show the outside.
Rather scarily, are we talking mid-30s?
Mm-hmm.
There's one very obvious plane, but it may not be British or American. There's one very obvious German plane.
What was that? Yeah, what was that big German bomber from the end of the First World War that was...
Well, I was just thinking the Junkers.
Some sort of Junker?
Ju-86 is quite plausible. Probably still with the two engines at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Junker, you know, it is a very, very, very reliable...
Do you know what? That is a thought. I mean, you could certainly procure one, and that may
it might even
the Germans
help.
Less.
Yeah, if the Germans see it, you know, they'll recognise the engine. I wouldn't doubt if any of them were in the unpleasantness.
It doesn't fly until 1936, alas.
Okay, well, there must have been something at the
airplane.
I'm sure there was.
Similar ilk.
It was an incredibly ugly German
following a
star, bomber,
and they're in a Junkers. you can have, yeah, if you wish to have a procure a German Junkers.
Well, you know, something that'll do the job.
Yeah, I mean, bearing in mind...
You get a DC-2, maybe.
If Indy can have a flying wing,
actually,
I think
good,
we can do
that's a very good point. DC-2 might be
they've
better.
Made it down to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Well, the DC-3 has just come out, so the DC-2s are being surplused off.
What's the plane in... Oh, that film where they crash in the desert with Jimmy Stewart, Flight of the...
Navigation?
Of, no, not that one.
Flight of the Concorde?
No, not that one. Flight of the Eagle or something?
Oh, don't mean thingy in the one where they end up in the pub at the end. And it's,
no, that's Ice Cold in Alex.
That's Ice Cold in Alex.
Flight of the...
Oh, that was an ambulance, you
Phoenix,
think.
Flight of the
airplane.
Phoenix, was it?
Oh, the one where they chop it up.
They've got to film the 1960s. Yeah.
There's that Twilight Zone episode where they turn out all to be
Edward
dead.
Fox in as well, isn't it, I think?
Yes.
And Alan
Edward
Guinness.
Fockers.
Flight of the Phoenix is a Fairchild C-82A packet, which I'm pretty sure is a bit late.
I'd say it's 60s, actually, yeah. Ernest Borgnine, though. Can't have a bad film when Ernest Borgnine's in it.
The black hole.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just review Mr. Borgnine's career, including such delights as the Airwolf movie.
Why are you saying that's not a good film?
It's not great.
Ernest Borgnine, it isn't.
While you can say, and perhaps argue the point, that you cannot have a bad film if it's got Ernest Borgnine in it, it's not true that you cannot have a good film that's got Jan Michael Vincent in it.
All right, that's fair. But that creates a paradox.
It might do.
Anyway, you take off. Are you... You can have a DC if you like, or a Junkers.
Well, DC-2 seems very plausible to me. So.
It's a nice big plane that is designed for landing on weird shit.
Also, at pulp resolution, they're practically the same thing. But what we've got here is a fairly large passenger plane. It's, what is it?
Oh, here we are.
20-odd?
14-seater.
Yeah.
So if there's only four of us...
Here we go. We want a Zeppelin Starken R6.
No, we really don't. I've flown against them.
Okay, you load up your DC.
Almost as big as a B-29 Superfortress, apparently, and as a World War I bomber. That's terrifying.
Beardmore tried to build one that was bigger, but Beardmore was basically a shipbuilding company, and they built aircraft the way they built ships. Solid. They were not a great success in the aircraft business. They also supplied the engines for the R-101.
But they never sank.
They often sank, actually, but...
Gotha, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, well, Gotha is an aircraft manufacturer.
Yeah, that was the weird, ugly, very peculiar-looking... Looks almost like a series of zinc bathtubs connected by wings. It's a very odd,
I can see horrifying why that would appeal to the doctor.
Ken is very quickly at home in the DC, by the Douglas Company. So this is basically a fairly medium-sized twin-engine monoplane kind of thing.
Yeah, it is definitely a transport plane.
There's a lot of establishing shots of it as you load your stuff up. There is some stock footage as you take off into the
air. I do love a bit of stock footage.
Into the...
It's actually stock footage sunrise. Of a DC-3, but hey, what the hell.
Only people like Roger Woods writing.
They've dubbed the wrong aircraft noise on this.
Oh, God, what was the...
Like airplane with its engine noises.
I know it was a water plane, but what was the one... The one we were talking about right at the beginning of this. My brain's gone completely... Flight of the Thingy Monkey.
Oh, Tales of the Golden Monkey.
Tales of the Golden Monkey.
Yeah, which of course...
That was a Grumman Goose, wasn't it?
Yeah. Very, very much a period, because at the time it was happening, they did exist, but they were the shiny new thing. But hey, what the hell?
Well, we have some cheesy music as the plane disappears into the sun, into the rising sun, east into the vast expanse of desert. The largest expanse of sand on Earth, I think.
We're going to have somebody sort of taking turns to scan the area through binoculars, I think.
The camera pans in on one of you going to get a beer during the flight. But it's good for iron brew.
Yeah, it'll brew.
Made in Scotland.
From Girdles.
I already did that one.
Oh, did you? Well, but I did it better. I took yours, mate.
Well, you did the accent, you see, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously this, but yeah, never mind. Onward. Yeah. Let us get us down on the ground before I comment on the GM's accent.
Yes.
Okay.
No more German accents, please.
No pilot role necessary for... It wasn't German, you shit. There's no pilot role necessary.
I think you mean fine.
Snarge incoming.
Where did all these lubricated geese come from?
You travel for some hours and then some hours more. Always. Who is looking out? I mean, obviously,
we are taking turns to be Ken's spotter.
Okay.
And we are looking for tracks in the desert.
Yes.
And we are looking for dust in the desert. And we are looking for
Germans.
For Germans.
Now, what sort of altitude, Ken, are you flying at here?
Well, we're using binoculars and things, so we can be at a reasonable altitude.
Very low to maximise your spotage?
I would think fairly sort of a good ground observation height is maybe somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 feet. So you cover a reasonable area, but you're close enough that you're not more than about a mile away from the stuff you're looking at.
Now,
with the binoculars, if we see something at that distance that we think, oh, I wonder what that is, we can zoom in a bit.
Yeah, I mean, we will inevitably be spotted if anybody's keeping a lookout, but yeah, we can't do anything about that.
To some extent, it's quite easy to see. On the other hand, it's very bright and very hot, and it's hard to keep focus. So let's have a spotting roll from each of the spotters, which I guess will be intelligence, unless you have some... something you can convince me otherwise.
Physics?
No.
You know, I could improve these binoculars in a matter of minutes.
Psychic senses?
No.
What? If you can't use your psychic senses, then what can he use?
I don't think you're close enough.
Okay, but I guess it's got to be...
Those, penguin, is that the...
So, dexterity, intelligence.
Yeah, intelligence. Plus two. So whatever your difficulty is, plus two. So that's 14 if it's your prime, 20 if it's not. Add your character level, remember. Jesus, I don't know if you remember what level you are, but...
Well, it's likely to be one, isn't it?
It is one.
Yep. So I'm adding...
So, incredibly...
I've just rolled 20.
You add a D6 on top of that.
No, I haven't rolled a natural 20. I've rolled 18, and I've got plus 2.
Okay.
So my cat and mouse power, which is indeed for searching for things, is in fact searching for missing persons, wanted individuals, that sort of thing. I don't think it's relevant here. Alas.
Oh, well, no, I don't know. Are any of them wanted?
That is fair, actually. You're searching.
Any of them war criminals?
We don't know war criminals yet.
Well, you're looking for tracks as well, so I'll let you use cat and mouse here, Ken.
Well, that's basically an unspecified number of checks against wisdom.
All right.
Pretty sure the author doesn't realise the implications of having to make several successive checks.
Yeah, we're not going to be...
anyone
in Cthulhu who has had to have a whole party make a move silently check understands the implications.
No, just suddenly thinking.
Just barely
D&D.
Made it.
This is D&D based. This should be wisdom based, not int based for spotting.
Why?
I don't know, but it's D&D based.
It's traditional what is used because wisdom is the kind of awareness.
It's not the same game.
Sort of the perception thing.
But intelligence is knowing where to look.
Yes, I feel like it's more of a focus because it's not the...
I think that's the expression, isn't it? Intelligence is knowing where to look. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad.
correct. Well, it's a lovely beer.
Anyway, despite having a plus four on this,
I'm
going to
once again plug the pretty decent beer company.
The same one.
Come on.
I get a plus one for my level and then plus three for my intelligence, and it's a prime. Even with all that, I'm still in the old six.
Followed by that.
Okay, so Penguin spots it first. A trail of tire tracks over the dunes heading again towards the sun. Or at least where the sun would have risen, it is now sinking behind you. Mm. And quite soon after that, Ken and Penguin spot a couple of jeeps in sort of loose, close formation. Behind them...
What was the equivalent of a jeep at this time?
I don't think they have jeeps in the 35.
Oh, no. No, that's 1940s. Mm. There are a couple of German things that are a bit rubbish and nobody really likes them much, especially the Germans. And I'm quite serious. If you want a car that will go reliably through the desert, you get a Rolls-Royce. That's actually what the LRDG used in the early days.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I mean, they're very reliable. But in this case, it is a couple of kind of... Well, you don't have anything like... Is there anything like a four-wheel drive at all at this?
You're going to be using some trucks, probably.
Well, so there is a truck behind, a covered truck.
It'll be some Daimler thing, or maybe a Mercedes.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So what we have is a couple of Rolls Royce or Daimler or some kind of reliable car. A couple of those up in the front, and then behind that, an army truck. Clearly, army truck. Even from this height, you can see the swastika on the back, and then a second symbol, which is, as I said, the equivalent of a tri-swastika. In fact, I can show you the symbol, but it is a...
Manx Nazis.
Yes, did we make that joke last week as well?
Yeah.
Well, I did. I don't know if anyone else made it. I'm very likely to make it next week.
I feel we should. I mean,
Well, Shim's still here, so he'll be offended every time we go. So that's nice.
Listen, I mean, not every German was a Nazi. Not everybody with any kind of Manx connection, however distant
not every
or close.
Manx was a tax evader.
There you are.
Don't earn enough to evade taxes.
That's
one way to evade
that's
taxes.
That's more offensive.
I'm trying to think. What's the song by the Thingy Brothers? But the best ones are, or something. I don't know. I've got my brain's gone.
Oh, do you know? I thought it was in the book, but I just looked it up. But it's
the Society of Thule.
Yes. And they have a symbol.
Now you see, they could do with actually having things, because obviously a Thule and his money is easily parted.
Is anyone else having audio trouble?
I had
trouble?
No idea what Mark said then, sorry. But I'm sure it was very funny.
Did I say anything? Was it even vaguely... can you actually hear me?
It
just cut out.
Hear you now, but it seemed to sort of squawk and garble and get very low.
Oh, you see, obviously I was talking about the Society of Thule.
Oh, you were.
And
you were
so suddenly they...
Anyway, I've misremembered. It's not a three-legged swastika. It is a kind of a curly swastika. A circle with a swastika within it.
Joke. I just dropped it in chat.
Absolutely wrecked me joke for next week. That's no good. That's can't no make moon. A gang about
if
that.
If anything, it's kind of Captain Scarlet.
Yeah.
There's a bit, yeah.
So there's a typical Nazi party swastika on one side, and then close to that, this more unusual swastika, which is less well known, but marks them out as the Thule Society, as Sydney would recognise.
Well, I think Ken actually...
Ken knew about the Society of Ormazd. I think Sydney knew about...
Ah, right, okay. Yes, well, definitely our chaps. Where are they again?
Up ahead.
Sorry,
they're in the desert.
A little distracted. I'm the only person who hasn't seen them, you see.
At the other end of this gravity well from us. Now, what did you bring that's heavy?
A lot of fuel.
Got all this water.
We could just spray fuel. No, we shouldn't
thank
do that.
God. You brought us rain.
It's rain. Highly volatile rain. No, we can't do that.
Jumped out the wrong stuff.
So, right. I mean, okay, we do have the issue of what to do.
Can we see where they're going?
East.
I mean, is there a visible goal?
Not that you can see. It is all sands all the time.
Should we try getting a little higher and
some? It is a bit Captain Scarlet, isn't it?
It is. It's like a black and white version.
Well,
I'm never going to be able to watch Captain Scarlet again now.
Captain Scarlet. Right. So
Captain Scarlet beats the boys from Brazil. I mean, it would explain a lot.
They're just driving off into the distance. I mean,
Colonel White.
It's hard to see.
Should have,
I mean,
should have thought about that.
You can see a long way, but it gets a bit hazy. There are mirages in the sense that it's all heat haze ahead. You can't see any kind of anything other than sand and heat.
Right. Perhaps we should gain a little altitude and pass them, and then
I will fly in a determined manner, approximately 20 degrees off what we think the correct course is.
Ah, you're flying casual.
No. I'm flying very seriously.
Excellent, he said.
Like a man who has seen what he's aiming for and has turned to aim towards it.
Right. Okay. I mean, it's
deploy a banner
likely.
Saying this way behind us.
Basically, this is fast talk with pilot skill.
Yeah, well, I was about to say that.
Let's have a pilot roll to see if they are fooled.
Which is Dex, I guess, in this.
Fooled?
Yes, do you have flying skill or ability or anything?
I have the...
Now's the time to tell us.
Charisma-based piloting?
A background would be +2, knowledge skill...
I have the ace class ability, which basically makes me an expert at flying everything, rather than having an explicit skill.
Okay, well that would drop it down to a 12, though. Is Dex
so
your prime?
Ace is a prime anyway for me.
I'm not sure you
as in Ace
Renner,
then,
really. Let's just let's see what you get on a D20.
Yeah, so modified, that gets me a 13 on my Dex, which is a prime,
yeah,
so.
You're pretty sure that... So what's your plan? Do you want it to make it look like you've seen them and you've changed direction?
No, I want to make it look as if... As we're approaching them, I have seen the thing that is obviously the target we're aiming for.
Okay.
And I'm changing course towards it.
So you veer off in that direction.
Yeah. And okay. then once we're below the horizon, I'll circle back to where we think we might actually be going.
Okay. All right. So now you know where they are. Are you staying behind them or you're heading? Oh, so you're going past them.
Yes.
And then circling back around. Okay. I see what you mean.
If we're going from A to Z and they are at M, we are diverting off into the trackless waste and then trying to come back at about Q and resume our course.
Well, that's clear.
Got that?
Yes, okay.
How many bananas is that long?
It's a large boulder the size of a small boulder.
Okay. How far ahead of them are you getting? Again, you've been flying most of the day, so it's starting to get dark.
That's all we want, because we want it's supposed to appear in the dusk behind us.
After a fortnight?
No, after a fortnight of walking.
Yeah.
It wasn't specific.
I should be trying to keep an eye out.
It said basically 2 weeks.
It wasn't a prophecy with footnotes.
Let's go for a fortnight of walking. So
feed your camel on the good beans.
Mm-hmm. So what are you doing?
When it comes... Hang on, you have a specific thing that's possibly worth doing here, which is when it comes to near sunset, I would like to be flying cross-course so that the observers can look out of the side windows rather than try to look out backwards to where we expect to see the city.
Okay.
And speaking of camels, did you notice about the scandal recently in the camel beauty pageant where it turned out they've been using Botox? This is entirely true.
Botox to camels.
Yep.
Anyway, sorry.
God almighty.
Big scandal, apparently. Turns out it's very common amongst camels, who I'm sure are doing it themselves, you know.
Now, the sun sets fairly quickly. You're much closer to the equator than you are used to, Ken. So it's not long after you've bypassed the Narches. That the sun starts to drop down quite quickly below the horizon.
We're going to have to try and land pretty soon. We don't want to be setting up in the dark.
Yeah, agreed. But what I'm trying to do is get the sight of the city at sunset, and then usually you should have a few minutes after that in which we can land.
So as you circle round, off quite some way in the distance, you see the Nazi patrol just sort of rising over the horizon, and then they come a little bit further, and then the sun drops lower and lower. There is nothing, and then, like a mirage appearing behind you and behind the Nazis, is a shimmering dark city. It's
good gracious.
We'll see if we can land on there.
It has spires.
I'll give it a go.
Sort of reaching up like a broken hand. Pillars. Great. I mean, the only word is cyclopean. I'm sorry.
Does it have an aerodrome?
Does it have wide?
But that aerodrome was of no human shape.
Does it have a wide boulevard, shall we say?
It's. I mean, it's still in the distance. It's getting dark. It is completely black. And a little bit shiny.
So is the thought based on our, you know, passed down from our father's story, that if we don't actually go into this place when we see it, it won't be there if we hang around until morning. Is that the...
Yes.
Is that the spiel? So we're going to have to go and try and land. I hope not. Bloody singing.
Well, quite soon after that, the trucks stop and start to turn.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
We've got to
stay in the air.
Wisdom checks. Yeah, we'll go with them.
Some with
not intelligence. because it was dimension to prime with me, as you may have noticed.
But it is with me. So
passed by two.
So that's 16.
17
so
for me.
Passed by four.
So just missed in that case because it's an 18,
it's
isn't
a bit,
it?
It's a bit beyond the range of your glasses, but Penguin, Blaine, and Ken.
Again.
All see as Ken is starting to sort of look around for places to land or whether he can land near the city. You all notice close to the city a small person leaps out from somewhere they were hiding, maybe buried in the sand. A single person like that in white robes.
Maybe he got run over by the Germans.
And he starts running towards the city.
I don't suppose this aircraft is armed, by any chance.
Does he look as if he's had some facial reconstruction recently?
It's a bit hard to tell from this distance.
Not to mention in the dark.
From behind.
Yes.
But I'm sorry to say, Dr. Fossick, the answer is no, unless you can whip something up in a hurry.
Not quite that quick. Some sort of harpoon would be a possibility, but...
No, oh, well. Harpoons work both ways.
You start
yes, that
here,
is for a,
even over the noise of the plane...
I don't think whales have
audible at the crack of gunshots.
Ooh.
Now, are they likely to be aiming at us, do we think, or that fellow?
Well, they couldn't hit a rock at this distance. No, they are the sort of rock.
So as long as they're not aiming at a rock.
But you do notice the man running towards the shiny dark city is kind of weaving, ducking.
Diving.
So he seems to feel he's being shot at.
Well, he's wearing white. I mean, that makes him stand out a bit in dusk, I'd have thought.
He's not wearing fluorescent robes.
And also, if they're firing at him, that suggests
has he got a sort of like clan hat on as well, you know?
This isn't a big convention for the world's biggest bastards, is it? I know we haven't been invited, but really.
No, off in the distance, Nigel Farage jumps out from behind a dune.
I mean,
they're visually set upon by a lion.
If they are shooting at him, that suggests that they at least think this person is their enemy. Whether or not they know who he is, separate issue.
Ken, what are you doing? While the others discuss, you've really got to decide what.
I'm looking for a place to land, ideally in the city, a broad street
so we don't lose the plane.
If that's not there, then somewhere nearby and outside it.
As you pull sort of closer towards it, you kind of circle, start heading towards the Nazis. There does seem to be a wide, open, central boulevard heading towards a large black building in the centre.
Well, let's hope the brakes on this thing are good.
And the wingspan is about 25 metres, so it would need to be pretty hefty to make that viable.
It's wide. It is wide enough. The problem you have potentially is there is broken bits of this black... as you get closer, it looks like obsidian. And there are bits of it that have cracked off.
Sharp.
It's not a completely straight surface. So
that's not going to do the tyres any good at all.
It's not. I mean, you could do it. Only some kind of goddamn ace pilot would be able to land on Earth.
I'm able to give it a go, but how do the rest of the crew feel?
Do it.
We have every confidence in you.
Righto.
Bowing to your experience, Ken.
So much for that,
Gavin. You made it through the war.
Well, now when you crash and die, it's not your fault, Ken. So
we've got all these fate points for.
Oh, yeah, I have
one
then.
This is quite a difficult landing. You are an ace. So taking that into consideration, this is going to be a challenge level, I think, 6.
Meanwhile, I'm clutching my umbrella it's a rosary.
Challenge level 8 is kind of the difficulty level for this sort of thing.
So using fate...
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Can we give him fate?
You can use fate to add... a dice depending on your level. Let's tell you what you can do use fate with, because I've got it written here. After you can alter a single d20 roll, and you can alter that with a d6. That would be your best bet here. Yeah, you could spend a fate point to give you another d6.
Okay, I mean, I'm happy to commit it in advance if that would help, but if it wouldn't, then fair enough.
Okay, let's see how it goes. So it's difficulty 8, which means it's your challenge rating of 12 plus 8 would be 20, which is what you need to get.
Yeah, and I'm getting my stat bonus and my level, your yes? Level.
Yeah. Yes, which and I will 4. Give you plus 4 for being an ace.
Okay, so I'm basically...
So that actually cancels out, so it's just so you need 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, there right. We go.
Let's see what happens. Okay, that is a roll of 9, so I will spend the old fate point and add a d6, which is 6.
It is a bit dicey. See what I did there?
Well, yeah, because he got...
Well, a fate point that comes up 6 explodes.
Oh, dear God! That's another 4, then. So
the
that's...
dice explodes! It sets off the fuel!
So there's a total of 7 points margin of success.
Okay, that is pretty good. So this is where all the special managed, effects yeah, for the whole
to,
TV show
You managed
show
to
goes.
Miss most of the... So there's still maybe a few slashes in the tyre, but they are going to be fixable.
Well, we close in
Everything's fixable, old boy.
Nazis dressed with their double lightning armbands and with double lightning uniforms, the SS, with armbands of the Society of Fuel on, driving ahead in their Rolls Royces as they... would they ever... That's a very British brand. Would they not have a Mercedes or something?
That's why we said Mercedes or Daimler, okay. Yes.
Depends what's there, really, doesn't it? I mean, they could have shipped it all
over.
There are
really good and quite... I mean, there's a Daimler that is pretty much... gives the Rolls Royces a good run for them, and the only thing is, isn't that the one with the pressurised water in it? Oh,
Gudrun is a very Norwegian name, though, isn't it? They are driving ahead in their Daimlers, and
to be fair, the only Gudrun I know is Danish. So
we see one of them sort of gesturing ahead.
There's somebody standing and he's basically doing the pointing ahead going faster.
Well, it's a shame the classic half track hasn't been invented yet, really.
At the back there are a couple of SS soldiers shooting at the man in front, and then they gasp and look up as a DC-2 flies quite low over their heads, heading towards the boulevard.
That is a feature of landings, unfortunately.
Of the Black City. I mean, you want to be quiet, though.
You do. And you also want to not be shot at when you're basically 90% fuel.
on board the DC, that our heroes are tossed around as Ken makes a few last-minute adjustments as he comes in close and comes in hot, right up the avenue of the Nameless City. Sorry, that was way sexier than I thought.
It was. So we're hot and tossed.
I don't think there are any hot and tossed around here.
Wrong part of the world entirely, my dear boy.
The wing, I mean, that was a really good roll. So there's no clipping of anything, but the wing goes very close to a large half-collapsed building. Just those looking out the window, you are definitely you're going to hit that thing. You're going to hit the pillar, but Ken knows exactly where he's going. The plane smoothly lands to a halt, just a few hundred yards down the boulevard, with still a few hundred yards to go to the dark temple ahead. The plane comes to a halt. As it starts to come to a halt, the white-robed figure, with no ears and no nose, manages to rush past the plane into the dark city ahead.
Hell, he's going some, isn't he?
Well, it's as you're getting slower, he's caught up. He was already in the city.
Alas, he does not make the classic error of, I will just go near this engine because there's clearly nothing in front of it.
I mean, that would be a disappointing end for the end of level, but I might do it
worse. How did you lose your nose? Same way as the rest of my body.
The propellers are still spinning as he rushes past, not through the propellers, and under the wing.
In roll.
And heads up towards the giant black building ahead of you. Some kind of three stories. It's kind of an octagonal shape building.
I suppose we really ought to catch him.
As the plane comes to a halt. Meanwhile, behind the plane, the couple of Daimlers enter the plaza, the boulevard, with the truckload of bastards behind it. Ken takes the keys out. That's not going to happen, is it?
No keys.
Well, we're going to have to lock. We're going to have to lock the door after we get out. Otherwise, the Germans will be in here.
Make sure you put the locking bar through the steering wheel.
The man rushes into the octagonal temple.
Take the distributor cap out of the engine.
If we've got time.
You can hear the shout. You haven't got a lot of time. You can hear the shouts of Nazis behind.
Why are they shouting?
Gosh,
no,
I understand
them. They're not
shouting
as well.
Nazis. Oh, I no, sorry, right,
are,
yes.
The shouts
it could be
going,
Nazis, quick,
Nazis.
Follow me.
It's just to identify themselves.
Do they call themselves Nazis? They do, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Come on, Nazis! No, that's very jolly hockey sticks, isn't it? It's not that kind of...
a note for Shim's school girl.
Come on, chaps!
Come on, chaps! You've...
No, we've already established it was Sweden, not Norway.
The Reich needs you to advance into that temple and be massacred.
expendable bullet sponges.
Let's duck out of this plane swiftly.
As you duck out of the plane, blink in the bright sunlight at the bizarre...
Of sunset.
Bright sunlight?
A bright
sunset.
There's
been a change.
Isn't it now night? Because
The falling sun, as people in these parts say, has it's kind of had a kind of mirror effect on these polished surfaces. And it is that it's actually surprisingly bright, considering.
Fair enough.
So when you step out, it is bright sunlight's pushing a bit, but it is surprisingly bright, considering these polished obsidian cyclopean stones that now you're here, they don't look of human origin. There's something very peculiar about them. And were we playing a different game, there may be a sand check required. But you guys are full of spunk and toughness and have...
And mostly worrying about being shot in the back by a bunch of Germans. So I'm going to deploy my umbrella as a shield and hold it behind me.
You stumble out of the plane. The possessed body of Al-Hazred ahead of you. Germans behind you. You're in the thick of it.
Into the Temple of Death. March the...
Four.
Road the four.
There we go. Let's leave it there for tonight. I think we maybe got one, two more sessions. I might even let you level up.
I love how you say letters as if it's not, part of the game.
I mean, to be fair, I also do that with my groups. So
I will. At this point, it's a dramatic moment. You can go up to level two.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Or now?
Yeah, right now. As you steer off the plane...
I'm going to have to look up what that means,
I know.
Oh, I think...
I made some notes, I'll stick them on.
Well, I've got the rule book.
Yeah. All right, let's leave it there.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And
splendid stuff.
Not many more. I mean, knowing you guys, we could go to two, but...
Yeah, it could be months.
I see the memoir now, Across the Sands of Arabia, with Tommy Gunn and Fedora.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Have a very good night, everybody. Oh, excuse me.
You're relaxed.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Fading fast.
I know the feeling.
Thank you all. And I will see you soon.
See you next time.
Bye.
Same bat time, same bat place. Cheers. Bye, everyone.